Can't stand another Tuesday night in? Use Slug's daily calendar to fill your social calendar for you.
Shh. Are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves. My name's Christian Mayfield. I'm the vocalist of Acacia Ridge. That's spelled A-C-A-C-I-A-R-I-D-G-E. There's two guitarists in Acacia Ridge. I have Flip Toogood on lead guitar, Alex Schillingford on rhythm guitar, but we call him Half Stack. Then we have Anson Clark, who plays bass and violin for us, and Brendan Gottfriedson, who is our drummer. Acacia Ridge makes a good combination of rock and roll and metal. We have a lot of songs that would be considered classic rock that I think would work really well with Guns N' Roses and a lot of stuff from the 80s. And we also have some stuff that would work with more modern metal music like Disturbed or Slipknot. And we like to have a little bit of both influences in all of our music. We put out our first album called Watch Your Monarchs Fall in April of this year. Overall, it is certainly a more rock and roll album than metal, which is where I think we were aiming for. A lot more of the songs are cleaner and aren't as heavy riff-wise and are more melodic, which is certainly my influence and my specific style. But there are also some heavy ones on there. Anarchist was one of our singles that we released before, where we got our drummer to do some screams. We actually didn't even know he was able to do that. He just asked if he could step into the vocal booth one day and scream, and I fell out of my chair because he unleashed a demon that we didn't know was sitting inside of him. That was kind of terrifying, but it made the song better, so we were happy to let him do that. The last song on the album, Alabaster Eyes, interestingly enough, it is the song that we worked on the longest. We started writing that, or I should say they started writing that. That song got started before I was even a member of the band. They started writing that in November of 2017. And we wrote that song and rewrote that song three or four times in the span of that year before the album came out. I still freak out a little bit when we play that live, because when we get to the chorus, there are three melodies in my head for what works with that, and I sometimes blank and panic and forget which one is actually on the album. Feel the blade in the base of your neck. Try to relax, but you know what's coming up. She leans in and whispers in your ear. No one will miss you when it's time to disappear. I actually didn't even want it on the album. I tried to say, look, we weren't as good of songwriters when we started this a year ago. Maybe this doesn't go on the album, and our lead guitarist Flip all but fist fought us, trying to, no, we've worked too hard on this, we are going to make sure that this gets finished, and we're going to make sure this sounds how we want it, and it's going on the album one way or another. Yeah, it turned out a way that we liked it. We sat down and rewrote it one last time and changed a lot of the lyrics, and we added a violin solo, and it finally turned out how we liked it. So yeah, we make fun of him that he was so passionate about it, but he was right, and we're glad it's on the album. That's a hard thing as an artist, to understand when a song is done and when it needs more work and when it's had too much work and you've passed the point of where it was as good as it should be. So I'm glad as a songwriter that I have a band of four other guys who can call me out, and we call each other out when we're trying to amend songs that don't need amending at this point, or the opposite direction. If I don't want to change things when it hasn't had enough time to really become what it needs to become. I feel like the album we ended up with is as good as it could have been. As per the life of the artist, I will still have ideas every now and then. I will wake up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night and think, oh man, that melody would have been so much better had I gone to this note instead of this note. But I'm happy with it. It's out, and yeah, you just kind of have to accept, as an artist, you're always going to want to fix things. We have seen a lot of success on Spotify. We are at a little over 600,000 streams in total. And that's just including the album. We haven't done the math to see where the new single fits into that and how much that's added. A lot of our music gets put onto release radars and recommended playlists. But Spotify has certainly been the kindest to us in terms of streaming platforms. We do still get numbers from Apple Music and iTunes and Google Play and Amazon Prime. But Spotify is by far where we're leading. It's not to burn you at the stake where you belong. And I know you thought of me each time you cry. Tell my brother that I'm grateful. Part of the reason Malevolence was chosen to be the first single that we released was it was the first song that we finished recording on the album. We hadn't even talked about what singles we wanted to do to lead up to the album, but it was the first one we got back, and just the, I don't want to pat myself on the back and say quality, but yeah, the fact that it sounded as professional as we wanted it to really caught us off guard. I mean, we were hoping it sounded as good as we wanted, but we were really shocked at how it turned out. So that came out, I think it was 10 o'clock on New Year's Eve, and we were texting, I do not exaggerate when I say every contact in our phones. I was reaching out to people I haven't spoken to since junior high school. Like, hey, I'm in a new band and we released a song and it sounds really good and I want you to listen to it. And I think it's because we had so many people listen to it within the first couple of days of its release that Spotify, their algorithm took notice of that. Hey, this is a new band that has never put out music before, and they've got, you know, a couple hundred people, a couple thousand people listening to this brand new song that they've released. This is something that, you know, is obviously worth listening to, and they started recommending it to people. I think it was within the month we had gotten 100,000 streams on that, which is nowhere near what we were expecting to do for our first release ever. So it was, yeah, Spotify really is the one that kind of helped us out there and went, oh, people are paying attention to this. We need to put this in front of as many people as possible. Well, I remember there was a moment after we released Malevolence, after it had hit around 100,000, I went to a jazz game and just felt compelled to look up the venue size, how many people were there, just to kind of visualize. And I don't want to pull the number off the top of my head. It's not 100,000, it's less than 100,000. And just seeing that many people and actually realizing what that meant for the song was surreal. And I had to step out into the hall and just take a breather, trying to wrap my head around that number. We certainly looked at what was essentially an accident the first time and tried to model our releases after that, where, you know, once we hit 100,000, we sit down as a group and said, okay, this is doing really well. How do we make sure that every song we do after this does equally as well? So it was a lot of planning and promoting, more promotion than we did for the first one, to get more people excited to listen to it. And then, yeah, day of release, texted every number in our phone, messaged all of our Instagram followers, all of our Facebook friends. Yeah, now Malevolence obviously has a pretty good head start, but Beyond the Gray was the next single we released, and that's now around 150,000, I think. So, yeah, getting it to that many people after seeing what marketing like that was able to do was absolutely what led to our other three singles getting those numbers as well. So I think we released our new one. Our goal initially was 5,000 that day, I think, is we wanted to, you know, reach out again, any person we got in contact with. So initially there needs to be a pretty big bump of how many streams you're getting. And on top of that, how many people are listening. That's part of the reason why I think Anarchist underperformed initially was we thought, oh, if we just get like close family and friends to stream it on repeat overnight, that'll be the number of streams we want. It'll get on Spotify's radar. But it was the number of streams we wanted, but the number of people listening was far less than it should have been. So that's another thing is you need to make sure you get a good amount of streams at the beginning and then also a good amount of people listening too. Then the numbers have to match up. After that, we think that there is a human aspect. We're not 100% sure because Spotify is pretty under wraps about what their algorithm is. We're 90% sure that there is a team at Spotify that will get these songs put in front of them that they listen to make sure it's up to par, make sure it's quality, and I'm sure test for a bunch of other things before they click the go-ahead to start putting it in front of Release the Radar playlists. And I say that because we've had, you know, friends and bands that we talk to do the same thing, get the numbers that we told them to get to only not get put in front of playlists for whatever reason. So we think there is, yeah, you also have to get past a moderator or something like that. If you do all that and you do it right, then yeah, we're sitting at 600,000 streams right now because we, you know, try to work around that system. One thing that was kind of frustrating at first with how quickly we got 100,000 streams on Malevolence, we got ahead of ourselves a little bit and started reaching out to the bigger bands in the area saying, hey, let's set up a show together while we were sitting at like 300 followers on Instagram. And it was kind of funny to see people almost not take us, I don't want to say take us seriously, but not pay attention because at the surface, we didn't look like we had the numbers. And quite frankly, with our, you know, in Salt Lake City, we didn't have the numbers. We were getting incredible numbers on Spotify, but we hadn't taken the time to actually build an audience here that would come and see us. So that was another reality check. We kind of let our egos get in front of us, and we had a mindset for like 2 weeks thinking, oh yeah, we can play any place in Salt Lake now, and that was quickly shut down. Yeah, you might have good numbers, you still got to put in the work. No one here knows who you are yet. You still got to put in the time. So that was kind of a nice reality check with, yeah, Spotify numbers aren't everything. You still have to put in the work. You're about to hear our new single called What Man Has Made. This came out on Friday, and this is really our first step in a new direction for the sound of Acacia Ridge and where we want to go in the future. We're really proud of it, and we really hope you enjoy it.
In this arid wilderness, I raise my
you like what you just heard, you can find us on Instagram at @acacia_ridge. We're also on Facebook, and you can find us on our website, which is www.acaciaridgeband.com, where we're selling merch and hard copies of our album and a bunch of exclusives in the future. If you've enjoyed this episode of Soundwaves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on iTunes.
Promote Slug at community events all summer long as a member of our marketing team. Head to slugmag.com/opportunities to apply today.